Good morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Monday, April 3rd, 2006. I'm Marlise Franklin.
And I'm Jim Thompson.
PGE stock will go on sale today to pay off Enron creditors. Violent storms in the Midwest killed 23 people over the weekend. Both Condoleezza Rice and her counterpart Jack Straw are in Baghdad to form a unity government. Portland area weather today, cloudy this morning, chance of rain later today, highs in the upper 50s, lows in the 60s, and tonight, rain, lows in the 40s.
As attorneys argued in federal court in San Francisco on March 30th to quash a grand jury investigating a protest in San Francisco, activists point to current trends that use secret grand juries to carry out broad, politically motivated sweeps of environmental and other activists around the country. A status hearing regarding the 13 indictments from the Oregon grand jury scheduled for April 3rd in Eugene was postponed yesterday. More indictments and subpoenas are expected, say attorneys in the case. The FBI announced last year that ELF was their number one priority for domestic terrorism and held a press conference in Washington, D.C. with U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to announce the indictments, where they dodged questions about Osama bin Laden, but called the environmentalists eco-terrorists. The FBI has help from groups like the American Legislative Exchange Council, a conservative corporate lobby group, that has written model legislation stepping up the ante for acts of property destruction committed against corporations. Legislation has been introduced in 9 states seeking to categorize property destruction, trespass, or arson as acts of domestic terrorism. Activists point to the fact that these politically motivated acts of property destruction harmed no life, yet are being called terrorism, even as violent attacks by right-wing zealots go unprosecuted. According to the FBI's own 2003 statistics, 7,400 hate crimes motivated by race, ethnic, religious, or sexual orientation occurred that year. Information on these echo cases, as they are called, can be found on the Civil Liberties Defense Center website. A press packet of current related articles and background information is available through 510-548-3113, and this from a press release posted on Portland Indy Media.
Thank you, Jim. When Portland City Council bought into a $15.5 million aerial tram in 2003, it didn't know one key fact. At that price, the tram was already impossible to build. The tram's original Pill Hill landing was to anchor into hillside with cables, a feat repeated across the globe for decades. But 2 years earlier, Oregon Health and Science University had planned a massive hospital expansion in the same location. As a result, the relatively simple and inexpensive landing originally envisioned by the planners instead required an engineering marvel that's rarely, if ever, been accomplished. The overruns have sparked bitter sniping between City Hall and Portland's largest employer about who's to blame and who should cover a $15 million funding gap. It has also thrown the city's continued support for South Waterfront's redevelopment into the debates of election year politics. The city agreed to the deal in a large part to keep OHSU's expansion in the city. Today, no one's happy with where they ended up.
The union that represents nearly 1,800 Portland City employees said Friday that its membership has ratified a new 4-year contract with the city. The District Council of Trade Unions said the contract will run from July 1st through June 30th, 2010. It includes an annual cost of living adjustment ranging from 2% to 5%. In addition, the city will pay 95% of employees' health care costs. City leaders had hoped to spread more of the cost of health insurance to workers, but the City Council changed course, hoping to avoid labor strife and to encourage workers and management to work toward answers to rising costs. It was decided that all 13 city unions would be offered the same basic package with the same concessions in health coverage.
At a time when the state Medicaid program for low-income residents covers more children than ever, a rising number of Oregon kids still go uninsured. 1 in 8 Oregon children younger than 19 lacks health insurance, 118,000 in all, the highest rate and total in the past decade. While they live in every county, the uninsured rate in far eastern Oregon is more than twice the rate in metropolitan Portland. More than half have at least one parent with a job. They are disproportionately Latino and Native American. Most aren't poor by federal government standards, meaning they don't live in households with annual incomes of less than $20,000 for a family of four. The Oregon Health Plan has expanded eligibility for children over the past decade, but the number of uninsured children in Oregon is also rising. A third trend helps explain the first two. Fewer children are covered by private insurance. Many low-wage workers cannot afford to buy health insurance for their families through their employer or through the private market.
The Klamath is a river of arguments. It is riven by competing needs from dams to farmers to fishermen, and almost entirely broken as a natural river system. Today it produces enfeebled salmon runs that neither feed the Indian tribes which straddle the river's banks nor sustain the fishermen who prowl the Pacific coastline. The result? West Coast salmon fishermen now face an unprecedented shutdown of their season along with much of Oregon and California. The reason? To preserve a run of Klamath River salmon. This week, the federal government will decide whether to allow ocean salmon fishing from 3 miles offshore to 200 miles at sea. If, as is widely expected, the Salmon Fisheries Management Council recommends a closure, it would extend some 700 miles from Monterey, California, to near Manzanita on the northern Oregon coast. The council begins meeting today in Sacramento, with negotiations continuing through Friday. The fear is that any ocean fishing would snare too many returning Klamath River fall Chinook salmon. Biologists expect less than 29,000 naturally spawning salmon to return this year to produce the progeny that would, in turn, come back to the Klamath 3 to 5 years from now.
Good morning. This is the KBOO Evening News you're listening to, and we are now going to... Did I say evening?
Yes.
Because I always read the evening.
That's a habit, isn't it?
I even wrote it down. Morning, morning. It's the morning news. Good morning. Portland General Electric Company emerges today from the tainted and gloomy shadow of Enron Corporation with the distribution of stock to the bankrupt energy traders' creditors. Company executives touring the country to meet with creditors and potential investors couldn't be happier. A week after the stock distribution, Fowler, Pirro, and company returned to New York for a ceremonial opening bell to signal the company's return to the New York Stock Exchange, where it will trade under the symbol POR. Pirro said there's no way to know how active the new stock will be in advance of actual trading. About one-third of PGE's newly issued 62.5 million shares will be distributed to Enron's major creditors and the groups that have brought the claims. Bank of America, with a $3.6 billion claim against Enron, is likely to end up as one of PGE's largest shareholders. The remainder will be allocated to a reserve fund and distributed in the future as disputed claims are resolved. PGE officially separates from Enron once the new stock is created, which makes April 3rd an important day in the company's history. This from the Portland Business Journal.
A series of vicious storms sweeping across the Midwest have killed at least 19 people, including at least 15 in West Tennessee. Local emergency officials reported 8 deaths near New Bern in Dyer County and 7 in neighboring Gibson County. A Gibson County emergency official says resources there are just overloaded. The dead in Tennessee include a family of 4. Several Tennessee deaths occurred north of New Bern, where a twister carved a path through a cluster of homes. 3 deaths have been reported in Missouri and 1 in Illinois. Severe thunderstorms also struck Indianapolis as thousands of fans departed a Free John Mellencamp concert that was part of the NCAA's Final Four weekend. Television reports say concertgoers scrambled for cover as tornado sirens sounded and sheets of heavy rain fell.
Jill Carroll, the American journalist who spent 3 months as a hostage in Iraq, returned from the U.S. amid a cloud of charges from conservative bloggers that she had fallen under the influence of her kidnappers. Carroll arrived in Boston, a newspaper's home city, on a commercial flight from Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. She did not speak to reporters on her arrival, and there was no immediate word on her plans following the reunion of Carroll with her family. In her first hours of freedom, Carol and the Monitor were forced to counter allegations by conservative bloggers that she had betrayed a sympathy for her kidnappers. The charge was given currency by the New York Times, which suggested Carol had come to identify with her abductor's aims. In a statement posted on the Monitor website on Saturday, Carol dismissed any suggestion she shared the aims of her kidnappers. Quote, "Let me be clear. I abhor all who kidnap and murder civilians, and my captors are clearly guilty of both crimes," end quote.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says he wants a full Senate vote on an immigration bill this week and believes that urgent action is needed despite sharp divisions over whether proposed legislation would amount to amnesty. A chief sponsor of a House bill, meanwhile, also called on the Senate to vote to avoid deadlock so that lawmakers in both houses can start work on reaching a compromise, quote, "for our national security and our economic well-being." The Senate Judiciary Committee last week approved a bill aimed at strengthening enforcement of U.S. borders, regulating the flow into the country of so-called guest workers, and determining the legal future of the illegal population scattered across all 50 states. The Senate version, which passed 12-6 in committee and was broadly endorsed by President Bush, goes further than the House bill that imposes criminal penalties, proposes building a fence along the borders, and is limited to enforcement.
Former U.S. Senator Jesse Helms has vascular dementia and has moved into a convalescent center near his home. The 84-year-old Republican has been slowed by illnesses, including a bone disorder, prostate cancer, and heart problems. As his career neared its end, he made his way through the Capitol on a motorized scooter. He decided against seeking a sixth term and left Congress in January 2003. Vascular dementia is considered one of the most common types of dementia in aging people, with symptoms that may be similar to those caused by Alzheimer's disease, according to the Memory and Aging Center at the University of California, San Francisco.
And in other local news, local radio station KBOO is now in the middle of its membership drive. And we invite you to join and support the station. If you like what you hear, give us a call. And does anybody have the number?
We have 503-232-8818 for you out there in the Portland area.
Thank you, Chris.
We know you are listening. We know you're listening. We can feel it. And if you're out further beyond the 503 area code, call us now at 1-877-500-5266. It's terribly important that you do this. It keeps KBOO on the air, coming to you every weekday morning, 7 a.m., right after the folk music. You need to call us right now. Lots and lots of people call up for the folk music, so we know you're awake. And we do need to hear from you. This is an important part of your day. If you are part of the activist community, if you consider yourself well-informed, want to be well-informed, this is the right. This is how to do it. We don't take a lot of your time. It's a half-hour program, and we try to pretty much cover the whole map. So call us now, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. And this morning I am joined by
Marlene. This is Marlene telling everyone good morning. Let's run to the phone and quickly make a phone call to 503-232-8818. You know, we really hate to interrupt the news, but we'd hate even more to not be able to bring you the news.
It's worse than interrupting the news. It means that we have to cut a number of stories.
There you go.
We actually had to cut three or four really good stories this morning. I'm awfully sorry about that, but we do need to get the phones ringing. We actually had another story, a Grateful Dead-related story this morning about Jerry Garcia's lavatory being stolen yet again. We're not able to bring you that because we have to do
a pitch break. And you know, where else but KBOO would you even have a chance to know that that kind of story got cut?
Preempted.
So give us a call right
preempted
now.
Preempted people.
There you go. If we have to preempt Jerry Garcia's
yanked
lavatory.
Right off the airwaves.
You know, I tell you, that means you really got a call. So do it right now. 503-232-8818. Because who else, who knows what else that they're not telling you this morning? And if you're outside the Portland area, call us at 1-877-500-KBOO. And of course, you can always go right to the web, www. www.kboo.fm. Click on Join Now and do it quietly, but nevertheless, an intrepid membership is a membership. So please help us out right now. 503-232-8818.
Right. Take a stand for things, for what you actually believe in. Down here, we're fearless, for starters. If you can relate to any of this, call us at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. If you can relate to any of this, call us now. If you like the idea of living without fear and speaking what you know and believe to be the truth, if you believe in looking behind the screens to see who's actually pulling the strings, call us at 503-232-8818.
You know, I'm really a nut for news, and I listen to quite a bit of news during the day. And for any of the rest of you who are nuts for news, I'd really like to invite you to give us a call right now, because this is where you hear news in a fashion that you don't hear anywhere else in Portland. I can tell you that as a fact, because I listen to a whole lot of news. So and this is where I look for my most pure form of news every day, twice a day. But right now we're pitching to you for the morning news program. My God, volunteers get up, you know, before the sun does, even though now it's spring, to make sure that the news comes to you every morning at 7 o'clock.
And we stand up for, you know, a bit of anarchy, too. That's all right with us. We like to have a bit of chaos. I think that keeps the blood pumping, and it keeps the airwaves alive and crackling. These are things that you don't get on a lot of other radio stations. KBOO has been around for a very long 37, 38, something like that. We've been around for a very long time. And we're strong and clear, and that's because of you. It's because of you calling us at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Make this the day that you stand up for what you believe in and call us. Become a member. You've listened for a long time. Now's the time. Today's the day. Please call us at 503-232-8818.
You know, it can be as simple as a $5 a month pledge that comes out to $60 a year, which seems huge. It certainly does to me. But a $5 a month pledge will get you in. Actually, even much less than that will get you in to becoming a part of a supporter of KBOO. So you can give us a call right now, 503-232-8818. I know a lot of us just got paid last week, end of the month, and so maybe this is a good time to make that call outside the Portland area, 1-877-500-KBOO. I work for Portland State, so I'm going to put a special pitch out right now to anybody who works for Portland State, because I know when you got paid, because it's the same day I got paid.
And insider information,
there you
people.
Go.
Insider information.
Where else but KBOO? So listen, I know you got paid, unless you spent it all over the weekend and spent it all in one place, you still might have a little bit of expendable cash. So give us a call right now, 503-232-8818. Come on, Portland State. Let's show KBOO that we support them.
Yeah, PGE stock went on sale today on the New York Stock Exchange. Why not, you know, you could do that. You could run out and buy yourself some stock in PGE and pay back
people,
the Enron
please
creditors.
Call. Get her off the air.
Or you could invest in the future of free speech.
It's
make an investment
simple.
In the future of free speech. If you want this kind of programming to be on the air into the future, and oh my, we are sure going to be needing it. Call us now, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 outside the 503 area code. We are going to...
And I want to give a big shout-out to Alan this morning. Alan from Hillsboro, you have called and given us a membership during the morning news, and we want you to know that we know you're there, and we are so happy that you know we're here. And we certainly would like to know if a few more people know that we're here. So give us a call at 503-232-8818.
I'm going to trust
you. Okay, we're going to go back to the news, ladies. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you in just a moment. During a surprise visit to Baghdad, Condoleezza Rice and Jack Straw yesterday increased pressure for an end to Iraq's political deadlock and the speedy formation of national unity government. The intervention by the U.S. Secretary of State and the British Foreign Secretary came as the position of Ibrahim Jaafari, the Prime Minister, weakened with the first signs of an open revolt by members of the Shia coalition, which won the election more than 3 months ago. The power vacuum has angered Iraqis as well as the U.S. and British governments. Many feel it has allowed militias to mount a campaign of sectarian murders and bring the country to the brink of civil war. Scores of bodies are being discovered in Iraq's capital every day, presumably the victims of police death squads or sectarian killings. Yesterday, nearly 40 bodies were found in several Baghdad neighborhoods, all handcuffed and with gunshot wounds to the head or chest. The U.S. has been growing increasingly impatient with the Iraqi political class. The reports of politicians haggling over portfolios as the country teeters on the edge of a civil war is eroding support for the occupation among the U.S. public. Jim?
A U.S. military helicopter lost in Iraq on Saturday is believed to have been shot down, and the two pilots are feared dead. The Apache Longbow was lost near Yusufiya, south of Baghdad. An insurgent group said it carried out the attack in an unverified statement on the Internet. The U.S. military said in a statement, quote, the two pilots are presumed dead, but recovery efforts continue. As reported earlier, the aircraft was conducting a combat air patrol. A statement posted on the Internet from a group calling itself the Al-Rashidin Army said it had brought down the helicopter. The authenticity of the statement could not be verified. The U.S. military has lost at least 47 helicopters in Iraq, at least 26 of them because of hostile fire. This from the BBC.
Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh criticized the United States yesterday for restricting diplomatic ties with the Hamas government, saying his people were being punished for electing the militant Islamic group. Seeking to end chaos in the Gaza Strip, Palestinian Interior Minister Saeed Siyam pledged the new government would pacify the area but appealed for patience. Let them bear with us for a year, he said. 4 people were killed and 36 wounded in unrest over the weekend. The United States said Friday that the American diplomats have been forbidden to make contact with officials in any Palestinian government agency controlled by Hamas, whose charter calls for Israel's destruction. The Islamic group's new cabinet controls every ministry. State Department spokesman Adam Ereli said diplomats would maintain contact with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas and lawmakers from his Fatah movement, which favors peace talks. Haniyeh accused the United States of violating its own principles of democracy by ostracizing his Hamas-led government.
Australia and China have signed a nuclear deal allowing Beijing to import Australian uranium for power stations. The agreement was signed under the gaze of both countries' prime ministers. Australia, which has 40% of the world's known uranium deposits, only sells uranium to members of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The two countries had previously failed to agree a deal amid concerns China would use the uranium in its nuclear weapons program. Australia insists that potential uranium buyers must agree to a separate bilateral deal stipulating that they will not divert nuclear fuel into weapons programs. Australian Prime Minister John Howard and his Chinese counterpart, Premier Wen Jiabao, looked on as their foreign ministers signed the pacts.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is poised to launch a bid to transform the global politics of oil by seeking a deal with consumer countries which would lock in a price of $50 a barrel. A long-term agreement at that price would allow Venezuela to count its huge deposits of heavy crude as part of its official reserves, which Caracas says would give it more oil than Saudi Arabia. The price proposed by Chavez is about $15 a barrel below the current global level, but a credible long-term agreement at about $50 a barrel could have huge implications for Venezuela's standing on the international oil community. According to U.S. sources, Venezuela holds 90% of the world's extra heavy crude, deposits which have been turned into synthetic light crude before they can be refined and which only become economic to operate with the oil price at about $40 a barrel. At $50 a barrel, lock-in would open the way for Venezuela, already the world's fifth largest oil exporter, to demand a huge increase in its official oil reserves, allowing it to demand a big increase in its production allowance within OPEC.
Events in and around the Icelandic economy culminating last Thursday in a further interest rate rise from Iceland's central bank may be the first sign of problems in global financial markets with unpleasant consequences for all of us. The crisis in Iceland is not about to bring the world economy crashing down. It is too small. But the run on its currency and that of New Zealand could be warning signs that the world ignores at its peril. Julian Jessop, chief international economist at the consultancy Capital Economics in London, said, quote, "It is possible that Iceland is the tip of the iceberg, the first domino to fall, albeit a very small one." With world financial markets having been generally calm in recent years and bond yields low, many investors have become complacent about risk. The Bank of England has repeatedly warned over the past year or two that the low interest rates around the world were driving an unhealthy search for yield among investors not conscious enough of risk.
This has been the KBOO Morning News for Monday, April 3rd, 2006. Thank you so much for listening. This program was edited by Chris Andre, and the tape stories are edited by KBOO volunteers. KBOO reporters contributed to the program. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Marlise Franklin. That I can say. Sorry. We clear the air at 90.7 FM Portland, 100.7 FM Corvallis on translator K264AA, 91.9 FM in Hood River on translator K220HR. Portland area weather today, cloudy this morning. Chance of rain later today and highs in the upper 50s, lows in the 60s. And tonight we're looking at rain in the 40s. Jim?
And coming up on KBOO this morning, at 7:30, it's More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. They'll interview the authors of Crashing the Gate, Netroots, Grassroots, and the Rise of People-Powered Politics. At 9, on the Old Mole Variety Hour, the guests include Daniela Ponce from the Institute for Policy Studies, discussing the challenges facing the new woman president of Chile, and Melvin Small, historian of the Vietnam anti-war movement, talking about connections between today's movement against the war in Iraq and the anti-warriors of the 60s and 70s. Also, the Old Mole's review of the book The Lonely Bones by Alice Siebold. At 10 on Health Watch, host Dr. David Naiman speaks with best-selling author and mind-body pioneer Dr. Larry Dossey, author of The Extraordinary Healing Power of Ordinary Things. At 10:30, it's Scott Forrester, hosting Monday on the Environment. And 11, it's Democracy Now! And don't forget, this is our...
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, celebrating 40 years of craftsmanship, April 3rd through 30th. For a store location near you, you can visit www.peets.com. That's P-E-E-T-S.